at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
Going to turn our attention to Formula One and the ongoing battle for the Drivers' Championship. I'm delighted to say Rebecca Clancy of The Times is with us. Rebecca, you are just back from Mexico, where things looked like they were pretty intense. What was the atmosphere like?
It was amazing. Yeah, I am back from Mexico. It's suffering the effects of jet lag at the moment, I have to say, although I'm not complaining about lack of sleep on a morning show. It was amazing. Yeah, I was out, actually lucky enough to go out into the, when you think of the Mexican Grand Prix, the first thing that probably comes to mind is that amazing stadium section where they race through at the very end. And it was full. And just before the race, actually, Sergio Perez, the Mexican local guy who was racing there, he was sort of paraded around, shall we say, the stadium section. And I went out just to kind of soak up the atmosphere, really, and see what it was like. And it really was incredible. And the numbers, actually, that we were given from Formula One said that there were 372,000 people there over the weekend. So it was a huge, huge crowd.
That seems to be the way this works at the moment, that there's a race and then the figures released are like new record-breaking figures. Can we talk about Drive to Survive and the whole impact it's had on the sport and the relationship that the show has with some of the main protagonists in the actual battle for the Drivers' Championship? So as an outsider, it seems like this is the goose that has laid a golden egg and has absolutely introduced a massive new audience to it. But it seems at the same time there's kind of some simmering resentment from some of the more important players, and some of them are, by players I mean drivers, but also the owners and the team leaders. What's the relationship like at the very highest level of Formula One with the show?
So at the very highest level, they're delighted with the show because it has attracted new fans, as you say. It's been particularly big in America. So we were in Austin 2 weeks before we were in Mexico. And again, as you say, it was record crowds. It was about 400,000 people there over the weekend. I do think the numbers are slightly larger than normal because everyone's a bit delirious to be back at sporting events. I think that's kind of the double whammy with it all. But Drive to Survive has had a massive, massive impact. It's definitely attracting new fans. I personally wasn't a big fan of the first and second season. And so you were mentioning there about some of the main protagonists potentially falling out a little bit with Netflix. So Max Verstappen, who's leading the title fight at the moment, he doesn't want to be involved with the series, which season four is currently being filmed now and will be out at the start of next year. He has said he's not going to do any sit-down one-to-one interviews with Netflix. He'll obviously be in the show because they're free to record up and down the paddock. You obviously often find yourself just chatting in the paddock and a microphone suddenly appears above your head and a camera in your face. And so that's just allowed. You kind of, when you sign up at the start of the year, that's the sort of thing that you sign up to. So he'll be involved in that sense. And obviously they have rights to the racing. And so he'll be in that. But he said that during the first couple of seasons, when he did sit down one-to-ones, he felt that they had used his quotes out of context, that it was a bit contrived. And he just thought that they were making up rivalries. Now, this season, there's absolutely no need to make up the rivalry between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton because it is real. It's happening, and it has led to probably the most exciting season that we've had in quite a long time. But at the very top, they absolutely love it. Max Verstappen not getting involved. Lewis Hamilton, actually, well, Mercedes and Ferrari didn't get involved in the first season. And I have to agree with Max a little bit on this one because I personally found the first two seasons a bit contrived. I remember watching it and they were talking about rivalries. It was between Carlos Sainz and Fernando Alonso, I think the first one was, both Spaniards. And apparently there was this big rival to be King of Spain. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't remember that. When did I miss that in the season? But it just didn't exist. But they had to create a bit of drama. And to be fair to Netflix, they didn't really know the sport. They didn't know the characters. And so they were learning as well. The third season was much better. Obviously, that followed last year when the pandemic hit and they were finding their feet a bit more. But yeah, I would agree with Verstappen. It was a bit contrived, but it has been very, very good for introducing new fans. I've got plenty of friends who don't watch F1, despite what I do for a living, but they don't watch it. And I get screenshots of my face sent to me. And there's one particular scene in Drive to Survive where it's just my face. And the amount of people who have sent me a picture of just my face. And so a lot of people are watching it, actually, and it is getting a lot of new people involved.
This is really interesting, like with just that specific point about you popping up randomly and a mic being popped above your head, and like you've almost got like the Brundle rule being brought in over the last couple of days, where Megan Thee Stallion can't have her bodyguards walk alongside her at the next US Grand Prix. That sort of stuff has been changed. Where this is really unique, where things have actually moved in the media's favour around these sort of things, because in pretty much every other sport, it is like, no, more bodyguards, less access to the inner workings of the sport.
Yeah, well, actually, the last time I was on this show, I said that I didn't really even understand why there were bodyguards on the grid, because it's so secure. It's a live event. You've got racing cars, you've got engineers, mechanics, everybody is working. When you're on the grid, you basically spend your life dodging the way out of cars, out of cameramen, out of engineers. You're constantly being shuffled around. And so you have to know what you're doing on a grid, really. And so generally, it's very hard to get onto the grid. You know, I'm very privileged that I get to go on it as part of my role in the media. But there's no random people. There aren't any fans who are going to run up to celebrity. I mean, half the time, I don't know who any of these people are. I certainly didn't know who she was until the whole thing happened. I'm not very good on that side. But anyway, people just don't know who these people, you know, they're famous in that region and that's why they're there. And that's brilliant because they draw extra viewership and it's bigger in that country. But you don't need bodyguards on the grid. It's ridiculous. I don't know who they're protecting them from. Martin Brundle. I mean, he doesn't. he's not a scary. He's a very nice man. He's not scary. You know, you don't need a bodyguard, and especially the size that she had. I mean, he was huge. So yeah, that's ridiculous. And so that has worked in sort of the broadcaster's favour, which is very good, because as you say, it rarely ever goes in the favour of the media.
This is on foot of the takeover a couple of years ago by CVC. This is all post Bernie Eccleston, who I remember talking to somebody from Williams, was like, they were streaming something on Facebook and he came and immediately shut it down. And then the new guys came in and were like, oh, what's your Facebook strategy? And they're like, we're not allowed to have one. So this is all part of the opening up of the sport. And it's not just Drive to Survive, but that's part of a wider strategy. And it seems to have rescued the sport from being a fringe kind of interest to back to the mainstream very quickly.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. You're completely right. The Drive to Survive has been key, but actually a huge part of it has been this opening up of social media to the teams. And we get these numbers all the time that the social media figures are up 120%, 150%, you know, the base was zero. So it's kind of, I remember Lewis Hamilton posted a video once pre-Liberty Days and he was told to delete it. And he's got 24.5 million viewers and they just were not taking advantage of this. And so you couldn't film in the paddock, you couldn't film in the garage, you couldn't use any of the footage of the racing. You were literally not allowed to post anything. Once you tapped into those gates in the paddock, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't take pictures. It's just a no-no. And even now, actually, from the media side, we have to be a bit cautious about videos that we take, but photos are okay. But for the teams, they can do whatever they like, you know, even down to the point that they couldn't interview their own drivers within the paddock because TV companies had bought the rights to film within the paddock. So they felt like they might be losing out. It was so strictly controlled. Whereas now, we know what it's like. You know, you can post whatever you want. They have a lot of fun. McLaren are very good at this. They have Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo, and they're forever doing fun stuff with them and playing games. And so it's more engaging with the fans. And that's what Liberty, who took over from CVC, that's what they've been trying to do. They've been trying to make, as they put it, they want the 20 drivers to be the superstars of the sport. And it works. And you know, one of the things with Drive to Survive is that it's made some of the drivers a lot more famous. There was a story going around that Daniel Ricciardo was in New York and there would just be people running out of restaurants to see him, which was, you know, probably a bit intimidating. And Lando Norris was saying that when he was in Austin, he was convinced that the fans were just sleeping in the lobby of the hotel. In Mexico, the Ferrari drivers were staying in, well, they all stay in the same area within Mexico City, and the hotel hadn't quite got to grips with the number of fans that were coming. And so within, they just let the fans into the lobby. And so the drivers were being hounded the whole way in. Eventually, after about 2 days, they brought in a rope line. But even then, apparently there was a little kerfuffle between two women who were desperate to meet Charles Leclerc. And it ended up with a bit of blood because it got physical.
Right.
So it's bonkers how much it has just exploded, really. And people are just, they want a piece of these drivers. And it's, you know, the social media, Drive to Survive, it's all working.
Yeah, and it's...
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. it sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Interesting, because a lot of sports, particularly rugby, for example, is very ambivalent about the venture capital money. But actually, a fusty old sport like rugby could definitely do with some modernising. And, you know, maybe they lose a little bit of their soul in the process, but maybe people get far more access and more information, and the players become more famous. Just on that point, though, there, like, if you look at American sports, for example, players and coaches are mandated and instructed, and they will be fined if they don't perform certain media functions. Is there ever a possibility where Max Verstappen says, no, I'm not going to do this, and Formula One step in and say, well, I'm really sorry about that, Max, but it's written down in your contract from now on that if you want to drive in the next race, you're going to have to do this one-on-one interview with Drive to Survive. Really sorry about that, Max, but you've got to give at least 20 minutes and you can't just give yes-no answers.
I sincerely hope that we never find out the answer to this question, because I fear what it might be. But no, I think with Drive to Survive, I think F1, when they brought that in and they said to the teams, we'd like you to get involved. As I said, Mercedes and Ferrari didn't want to do the first season, and Formula One said, fine, look, you just see how it goes, and if you want to get involved, then do. They were really surprised by how popular it was. So from the second season onwards, they got involved. Right. But with Drive to Survive, they very much leave it down to the teams to decide, because at the end of the day, this is a world championship. There's a lot of money involved. And if they feel like it's distracting for their drivers or for the team, then, you know, they can step away. Red Bull in itself won't step away, because Christian Horner is a very good marketing man and he understands the value that Drive to Survive brings to the team. In terms of for us, it's part of their contract that they have to do media. So in that sense, I think we'll be okay. I don't think that they'll turn around and say no. I mean, drivers don't really hide their disdain for us, that's for sure. I mean, one of the problems that we have as well is that there are so many races now. So the final five races, we've got four left, but the final five, we're in the middle of a triple header at the moment. So we've just been to Mexico, it's Brazil this weekend, and then it's Qatar, and we have a week off, and then we've got Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi. We are seeing these guys all the time, and sometimes you get to a press conference and you think, okay, what are we going to ask them this week? Okay, we've just seen them. Okay, we saw them 2 days ago. You know, we speak to them after the race, and then we speak to them 3 days later before the next race, and so they get a bit fed up of us, and we're kind of coming up with all these great new questions, which, you know, as you know, within the media, it doesn't always happen. So, you know, we're trying our best, and one good thing about the amount we travel is we kind of form relationships with these people professionally, and, you know, sort of see them in the paddock and you're like, oh yeah, we're traveling again, how's the jet lag? And, yeah, feeling awful, yeah, me too. So, you know, so in that sense, it's okay, but it's part of their contract, so I think on that side, we're safe.
What's really interesting is what the last couple of seasons have done maybe for the profile or the relationship between the public and Lewis Hamilton. Like, it did feel for a while there, maybe it's because we look at everything through a British media angle when it comes to our Formula One coverage here, but it did really feel that he was the superstar of the sport. Not so much carrying it, but certainly the central figure, whereas Drive to Survive has all of a sudden elevated all these other characters right up to a level just behind him, if not on a pedestal with him. How has he responded, do you think, to the fact that he is no longer the standalone star by a distance, but really there's a closer gap between himself and the rest?
I don't think he minds. He's very much in the camp of whatever's good for the sport. I mean, he's still probably the only driver that really transcends the sport in the way he does. He's got 24 and a half million Instagram followers, whereas I think the next driver has sort of 2 or 3 million. So he is still head and shoulders the most famous person that Formula One have, and Formula One know how important he is to the sport. The show has, Drive to Survive has been really good for people like Daniel Ricciardo. Everybody seems to love it. In Austin, everyone had these NFL shirts on with Daniel Ricciardo written across it, and he just seems to be an absolute favourite of, well, certainly a lot of my friends as well. Lando Norris has done very well out of it. And actually, I think Max Verstappen, despite how he feels about it, he's done quite well out of it as well. But for Lewis Hamilton, he's still the most famous person within Formula One. He's obviously the most successful, which helps that record as well. But I don't think he'll be too concerned about his star dimming slightly with others coming up to meet him.
How concerned will he be about the rest of the season?
Oh, well, that he probably is a bit concerned about. So, yeah, he's 12 points behind at the moment going into the final four races. It's not a huge amount of points. There are 107 points left on the table. The problem is that the next race this weekend in Brazil, that is a Red Bull track. And we saw what happened in Mexico last weekend. Max Verstappen was exceptionally dominant on a track where Red Bull were always favourite. We saw on Saturday that Mercedes were quickest in qualifying, but it was a bit of an anomaly, and it actually had more to do with the fact that Red Bull had a bit of a scrappy qualifying session. So we go to Brazil, to Interlagos track. Max Verstappen knows it very well, and I would probably put my money on him winning there. And actually, the form book is slightly going out the window, because we saw in Austin that that was supposed to be a Mercedes track. And again, Max Verstappen and Red Bull, with their strategy, they just outplayed Mercedes, and Max Verstappen won there as well. So there's plenty of concern at Mercedes. There's plenty of concern, I'm sure, for Lewis Hamilton, not that they will ever admit to it. Toto Wolff has said to the team principal at Mercedes that there's a long way to go, but I'd much rather be ahead than behind, obviously. So yes, there is concern, because two of the four races that we go to as well, we've never been to before in Formula One. So there's quite a lot of unknown going into the business end of the season.
Are Mercedes putting a little bit of added value on the Constructor Championship?
I mean, the Constructors' Championship in terms of the team is actually the only one that matters. So, and they're only leading that by 1 point to Red Bull, which is unheard of in this season. Well, the hybrid era, which started in 2014, they've never really been challenged. Ferrari had a look in 2017 and 18, but didn't really get close. Mercedes have normally had the Constructors' Championship wrapped up with three or four races to go. And the reason it's important is because that's the championship that decides the money. So the prize money that gets handed out between the teams, that's all decided on the constructors. And also the employees get their bonuses based on the constructors. So they really, really want that one.
Right. Very interesting. It's going to be a fascinating conclusion to the season. Rebecca Clancy of The Times, thanks a million for taking the call.
Thank you.